today on It's Time.
And I think that's really important, how God divinely, against all odds, keeps his promises.
I hear the calling, it's time.
Welcome to It's Time, the daily Bible teaching program of Mike Kessler, pastor of the River Christian Fellowship in Twin Falls, Idaho. Today, we're going through the book of Genesis. So, turn there in your Bible and follow along with Pastor Mike.
It's time these wounds to heal.
Well, where we left off last week, we left off in chapter 12 as we're going through the book of Genesis and how God provided for Abram and how God picked up where Abram left off. So let's pray. Father, we just ask you now that your Holy Spirit would speak to us through your word today, and God, that you would comfort every heart listening, that Lord, once again, we can put our faith, hope, and trust in you, and you've always been good to your promises. And so as we read these words, God, these promises that were made 2,800 years ago, yet God are relevant today because we see the nation of Israel in its homeland. And so we ask you now that your Holy Spirit would speak to us as we study together in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, one of the things we find here in chapter 13, Abraham went down to Egypt. There was a famine in the land. God told Abram to get out of his land, away from his father, away from his relatives, and go to Canaan. And we remember that Abram finally got to Canaan, where he was supposed to be. A famine came up in verse 10 of the preceding chapter. And without direction from God, he goes down to Egypt to weather the storm. Now, God never told him to do that. That's just something that he did. Now, I look at that, interestingly enough, because the first thing he does is he tells his wife. Now, when we get down towards Egypt, when somebody asks you who you are, you tell them you're my sister. Otherwise, they'll kill me and take you away. And so Abram tells his wife to lie. Now, the idea was that, yes, it is true that she was his half-sister. But the problem is that he was lying to deceive whoever it was. And in this particular case, it was Pharaoh. And Pharaoh was even warned in a dream. In fact, Pharaoh even rebuked Abram for this kind of behavior. And it's always a troubling thing when the world rebukes a person who believes in God. I think it's always a troubling thing. Again, he was never supposed to be there. How do we know sometimes we're on the wrong road? Well, when you have to start making up lies to cover your tracks, I think that that's a pretty good indication that you're not where God wants you to be. Well, as we go into chapter 13, we find now that God will bring him back right where he departed, where he took off to go to Egypt. God gives him a second chance now. So let's look at this together. This is chapter 13 of Genesis. Then Abram went up from Egypt, and he and his wife and all that he had, Lot with him, to the south. And Abram was very rich in livestock, silver, and gold. And by the way, this is the first time we mention personal wealth in the Bible. And so I think it's kind of interesting that he had livestock, silver, and gold. And he went on his journey from the south as far as Bethel to the place where his tent had been in the beginning between Bethel and Ai. Now, again, this goes back to the picture where he built an altar and met God. And now he goes right back to the same place where he was. You know, that's one of the great things about God, is that God will pick us right back up where we left off. God doesn't want to punish us. He wants to pick us up and say, okay, let's continue on now. So notice again, it says in verse 3, he came back to Bethel, the place where the tent had been in the beginning, between Bethel and Ai, to the place of the altar which he had made there at the first. And there Abraham called on the name of the Lord. So he takes him back to where he departed from what God wanted him to do. Again, going down to Egypt, back to the same altar, back to the same place where he'd camped before, and there he meets God. Well, you know, when God begins to, when we're back in alignment with God, God begins to work again in our life. Now you'll notice here in verse 5, Lot also, who went with Abram, had flocks, herds, and tents. Now the land was not able to support them, that they might not dwell together, for their possessions were so great that they could not dwell together. I mean, they were running over each other, you know, fights over water, fights over toilet paper. I don't know what it was, but whatever it was, they couldn't dwell together. Now, this is what is really interesting. And here, once again, and I believe as you look at the life of Abram, as we go through this, you're going to see a change in Abram's faith believability towards God. I believe that we grow in our faith. I would like to say that the minute we accept Christ as our Savior, we get everything there is to get. I don't really find that in the Bible. I find that our salvation is secure in Christ, but we grow in faith. We see the successes that God has got us through in the past, knowing that he's going to be faithful to us in the future. And I think that's really important because, again, God is always faithful. So Lot, Abram, his nephew, they couldn't dwell together. They both had been blessed by God. There were so many of them, they couldn't dwell in the same area together. And so this brings about a point of impasse. What are we going to do about that? Well, notice it says, and there was strife between the herdmen of Abram's livestock and the herdsmen of Lot's livestock. And the Canaanites and the Perizzites then dwelled in the land. Now, this is kind of an unusual part of a verse here, that the Canaanites and the Perizzites began to dwell in the land. Now, evidently, because Abram and his family, Lot and his family were there, that this might have attracted the attention of those people that were local to the area and said, hey, you know, as a matter of fact, this is kind of good land here. And they were preoccupied by their infighting to recognize probably that they were kind of slowly being invaded here. Well, it tells us in verse 8, so Abram said to Lot, please let there be no strife between you and me and between my herdsmen and your herdsmen, for we are brethren. And by the way, I think always taking the high road is God's way. You know, instead of get away from me, Lot, you're a bum. You know, he didn't do that. He just said, hey, it's too big for us. We're too big for this area. You know, we got a problem here, and let there not be strife between us. Is not the whole land before you? Verse 9, please separate from me. If you take the left, then I will go right. If you go to the right, then I will go to the left. This, I believe, was a real act of faith on behalf of Abram. Because, again, he's saying, you know, I'm going to let God decide this. And whatever you choose, I'll go the opposite way. Friends, that's a lot of faith. You know, for somebody just in the chapter before that was telling his wife to lie because he was afraid that he was going to get killed and Sarah would become one of Pharaoh's wives, we see a real growth here in Abram in his relationship, not only with God, but with his fellow brethren. And I believe that's always going to be the result. When you grow with your relationship with God, you're always going to grow in your ability to have relationship with other people. A lot of times people try to do it backwards. Well, I'll just get real good at being a correspondent with people around me and you know, then I'll try to talk. No, get your relationship with God first, and then God will add all the other things unto you. The Bible says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Everything else will be added unto you. So he says, it's not the whole land before you. No, it's a big place. We don't all have to be camping on top of each other here. You go right, I'll go left. You go left, I'll go right. You decide. And Lot lifted up his eyes and saw the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere, before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, like the garden of the Lord and like the land of Egypt as you go towards Zoar. So notice two things here. First thing is that Lot lifted up his eyes. I think that's always a dangerous place to be when we try to make the decisions ourselves. You know, the Bible tells us there's three things that'll destroy a person: the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. Those three things. And Lot lifted up his eyes. So first of all, we have Lot lifting up his own eyes. The second thing is he responds to what he sees. It's like a well-watered garden, like the Lord's garden. By the way, this area today in the land of Canaan, in the land of Israel, is a desert. Now, friends, global warming has been going on ever since the flood. And we find this widening band of desert that has gripped northern Africa. It has gripped many places of the world. In fact, what's kind of noteworthy, at the time of Jesus and thereabouts, northern Africa was really the San Joaquin Valley of like the San Joaquin Valley in America. It's where a lot of their crops were grown, where their wheat was grown, to keep this huge army, to keep their nation together. But by about the end of the Roman Empire, the climate had changed so much that it now was desert, and thus it continues to grow. The desert continues to grow even to this day. So the environment that was before the flood, after the flood, has been changing ever since the flood. And this is why I have trouble with a lot of the global warming people that are out there. In fact, I heard one of the kooky news networks say, well, the coronavirus is a direct result of global warming. That is absolutely a lie. There is no proof. And these people come up with this stuff. They spout it off. People believe it. And it's a lie. Climate change has been going on ever since the flood. And we have a good illustration of it right here, where it says that Lot picked towards Sodom and Gomorrah. They know where that city is today. And as it is in the desert. So it changed. And it's been changing, again, ever since the flood. So looking at this scientifically, we find that we can not only understand that, but it's also provable. And it says that he went towards Sodom. Then Luz chose for himself all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated from one another. And Abram dwelled in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelt in the cities in the plain, and pitched his tent as far as Sodom. Now, at this time, Sodom had not moved in to Sodom. He was on the outskirts of this wicked city, as it says in the next verse. But the men of Sodom were exceedingly wicked and sinful against the Lord. Now, you got to remember, there was a number of years that went by. I always look at this as important, because God didn't bring an immediate judgment upon Sodom. It says here they were exceedingly wicked, but the judgment of God didn't follow for years later. And I always look, a lot of times people say, well, you know, I've been out sinning, nothing's happened to me. I guess God's not real. No, God's merciful. There's a big difference. There's a big difference between interpreting God's waiting for a person to repent and interpreting is in that God doesn't care. God cares a lot. In fact, the Bible says that because of men's behavior, it defiles the land. You know, the Bible, when God put Adam and Eve in the garden, he said, go take care of the earth. And I believe when a relationship with God goes away, I believe that then we take advantage a lot of times of God's resources that are around us, whether it be land or resources on the land or whatever. In other words, not to just rape the land to get anything you want out of it and move on, but we're to be caretakers of this earth. And so in that regard, I do agree that we need to be careful with what we do. But the people of Sodom and Gomorrah were wicked here, and we'll find out what happens to them as we move up in a few more chapters here. And the Lord said to Abram, verse 14, after Lot had separated from him. Now notice this, this is important. After Lot had separated from him. You say, well, why is that important? Well, if you go back to Genesis chapter 12 and the original commission that God gave to Abram, it says, get out of your country, from your kindred, from your father's house, to a land that I will show you. And I will make you a great nation and bless you and make your name great. Now he says, get out of your country and from your kindred. Lot was his kindred, okay? So we have to understand that. Once Abram did what God told him to do, now notice God speaks to him again. He got rid of the problem that was in the way. And the Lord said to Abram, after Lot had separated from him. If you like to underline things in your Bible, I would put after Lot had separated from him. It's like now God can say, now that this is taken care of, now we can get on with the rest of the directive that I have for you. Now notice this. God said to him, Abram, lift up your eyes now and look from the place where you are northward, southward, eastward, and westward. For all the land that you see, I will give to you and your descendants forever. Now, again, this is an eternal promise. It's land allocated by God to Abraham forever. I can't stress this enough that Israel is in their homeland this morning. Isn't that amazing? God kept his promise. They went through so many things, wandered all over the world, were dispersed among the nations, and we find, just as Jesus said in Luke chapter 21, that Jerusalem would be trodden down by the Gentiles until the time of the Gentiles is fulfilled. Jerusalem is completely under Jewish control, and thanks to our president, recognized Jerusalem as the capital of Israel, the eternal city. Isn't it amazing that God's word stays true? Now, why am I bringing this out? If God said, I'm giving it to you forever, and we see that it is in the hands of Abraham's descendants today, the promises of God are for you. And I think that's really important how God divinely, against all odds, keeps his promises. God said, Abram, I'm going to give this land to you and to your descendants forever. Well, again, we have the proof of it right now as we look at a map and we look at Israel. And I think that's really amazing that when God lifted up Abram's eyes, he said, now you lift up your eyes. Now, remember earlier, as we read before, and Lot lifted up his eyes. You see, God wants us to see, but he wants us to see his way. You see, seeing God is really important in the days that we live in. Jesus said in the Beatitudes, blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. You need to see God daily in your life. Now, many times in the Bible, seeing God was through faith. But sometimes seeing God was through events. We remember the burning bush. Again, as we studied, God allowed this bush to be burned. Now, that didn't concern, that didn't really concern Moses, but it's when the bush didn't burn up, it just kept burning and burning and burning and burning. And oftentimes in the desert, electrical storms will come through, strike a sagebrush, and you'll see it burning and it burns out. Sometimes it can cause a range fire. But the thing is, this bush didn't burn up. That got Moses' attention. He walks over. God spoke to him out of the bush. Take off your sandals. Where you stand is holy ground. And God gives him the directive to go set his people free. But imagine Moses not noticing that bush that was burning. I wonder how many times God has anomalies in our lives that we look at and go, well, that's something you don't see every day, and pass by it. So as a child of God, you want to begin to see things through God's eyes. Oftentimes, the things God has for us are not, ooh, I just won the lottery, whoopee-doo. But sometimes it might be that God will show you something, someone in a store, something that sticks out to you. That could be God speaking to you. And you want to pray about those things. Just like Moses saw a burning bush. God will show you things and seeing through your father's eyes. Now, again, blessed are the pure in heart. They will see God. Now, there's a lot of people. The pure in heart is that you're singularly focused upon God's kingdom. There are those that say, you know, wow, look at the lock that somebody left unlocked on that storage building over there. Hey, now that's an anomaly, but that's not from God. Let's go break in and steal stuff. Let's take the lock off and steal stuff. Blessed are the pure in heart. They'll see God. See, there's going to be events in our lives, supernaturally, from either the devil or from God. But when you're pure in heart, you're going to see that as an opportunity for God to use you in a situation where he himself, if he could be there, he would do it. And that's one of the great things. Thy kingdom come, Jesus said. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So he separates himself from Lot, and now we find God now giving him the promise of the land.
Thanks for joining us on It's Time, as Pastor Mike teaches verse by verse through the Bible. If you've missed a program or would like to catch up, you can do so by getting it from the It's Time podcast in the iTunes store or by downloading it from the It's Time website at theriverchristianfellowship.com. On behalf of Pastor Mike and the rest of us here at the River Christian Fellowship, thanks for listening and tune in next time for It's Time.